Tuesday, June 24th. Nativity of St. John the Baptist. The lesson from Isaiah chapter 49, verses 1 through 3 and 5 through 7. Give ear, ye islands, and hearken, ye people from afar. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother he hath been mindful of my name. Arid he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he hath protected me, and hath made me as a chosen arrow. In his quiver he hath hidden me. And he said to me, Thou art my servant Israel, for in thee will I glory. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, Behold, I have given thee to be the light of the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation even to the farthest part of the earth. Kings shall see, and princes shall rise up, and adore for the Lord's sake, and for the Holy One of Israel, who hath chosen thee. Haydock Commentary. This discourse continues to chapter 56, verse 9, relating to the Messiah, who is introduced speaking to all the world. See Acts 13:47 and 2 Corinthians 6:2. Some apply it to the figures of Christ, as Cyrus, Isaiah, and John the Baptist. The prophet foretells the conversion of the Gentiles, like an evangelist. Many Jews will embrace the gospel at the end of time. He hath made my mouth like a sharp sword, like a sword penetrating the very soul, see Hebrews 4:12, and slaying the wicked, see Apocalypse 1:16 and 2 Thessalonians 2:8. Without Christ, his ministers can apply this sword to little purpose. Cyrus cut asunder the bonds of the captives by his decree. That thou mayest be my salvation even to the farthest part of the earth. St. Paul explains this of Christ in Acts 13, who said, Go teach all nations, in Matthew 28. The Gospel from Luke chapter 1, verses 57 through 68. Elizabeth's full time of being delivered was come, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and kinsfolk heard that the Lord had showed his great mercy towards her, and they congratulated with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him by his father's name, Zachary. And his mother answering said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said to her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by that name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And demanding a writing table, he wrote, saying, John is his name. And they all wondered, and immediately his mouth was opened, and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came upon all their neighbors, and all these things were noised abroad over all the hill country of Judea. And all they that had heard them laid them up in their heart, saying, What a one, think ye, shall this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him. And Zechary his father was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, because he hath visited and wrought the redemption of his people. From the Great Commentary of Cornelius a Lapide. Luke adds the account of Elizabeth's bringing forth to that of the visitation of the Blessed Virgin as an effect to a cause. For the Blessed Virgin, by her prayers and merits, obtained for John both his nativity and his sanctification. For this purpose she had come from Nazareth and had remained with her for 3 months. John the Baptist was born on June 24th, for then the Church keeps the yearly celebration of his birth, observing it in his case alone, as it does also in the case of Christ. For as regard the rest of the saints, the Church celebrates not the day of their birth, but that of their death, on which they passed from a life of misery to one of blessedness. And her neighbors congratulated with her. So was fulfilled the promise of the angel in chapter 5, verse 14, Many shall rejoice at his birth. St. Ambrose says, The bringing forth of the saints causes the rejoicing of many, for it is a common blessing, for justice is a public virtue. For the just by their example benefit all. Many also, as John did, benefit them by their preaching. Notice here that the Jews were not always circumcised in the synagogue, for the fact that John was circumcised at home is inferred from the following verse, in which it is clearly implied that his mother was present, who could not at that time, according to the law, leave the house. Leviticus 12:4. Elizabeth, who on the salutation of the Virgin, being filled with the Holy Ghost, had learned the mystery of the incarnation of the Word, learned also the name of her son not from Zechariah, but from the Holy Spirit. For as St. Ambrose says, she could not be ignorant of the forerunner of the Lord who had prophesied of Christ. It was an earthly custom to name the child after one of the family members, but John was a citizen of heaven, not of the earth, whence he received from heaven a celestial name. St. Ambrose and Bede say, Observe that the name belongs not to the family, but to the prophet. Lest perchance the mother had made a mistake in assigning the name, they refer to the father, to whom both the infant and the giving of a name to the infant belonged. Zechariah says, his name is John. St. Ambrose remarks that it is said, his name is, not will be, so that the meaning is, we do not give a name to him who has received one from God. He has his own name, which we acknowledge, but which we did not choose. Names were frequently given from some event either present or future. Thus Isaac received his name from the laughter of his mother, Cain because he was the possession of his mother Eve, Moses because he was drawn out of the water. So also John received his name from the grace and mercy which he received, not in his conception, but when he was visited by the Blessed Virgin. And they all wondered both at the agreement between the father and mother, and at the name, which was an unknown one, for they did not know that it had been revealed from heaven to Zechariah. St. Ambrose says, rightly from that moment was the tongue of Zechariah loosed, for that which unbelief had bound, faith set free. When he saw John really born, he believed the promise made to him by the angel concerning him. John, therefore, as he had filled his mother when in her womb with the Holy Spirit, so now when born breathed the same Spirit upon his father. Whence St. Gregory Nazianzen says, the birth of John broke the silence of Zechariah, for it were unreasonable when the voice of the word had come forth that the father should remain speechless. Theophylactus says, all these things were done fittingly, that John might be esteemed a witness of Christ worthy of credit. And Bede says, the future prophet is commended by previous auspices. St. Ambrose says, because John was a voice, according to the words, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, therefore at his birth, his father, who had been dumb, recovered his voice. And fear came on all that dwelt there, that is, a religious fear and reverence toward God, who had done so many wonderful works concerning John, both as to his father and mother. For where God displays his power, there arises on the part of men towards him and his majesty a sacred feeling of fear and reverence. By means of these signs, God stirred up the minds of all men to the veneration of John as the future forerunner and discloser of Christ, and in order to procure authority for him, and that so his testimony concerning Christ might outweigh every objection. Christ revealed to St. Bridget that there were three saints who had pleased him above all others, the Blessed Virgin, Mary Magdalene, and John the Baptist, and that the demons, being struck with terror at his birth, bewailed and lamented when the angels and pious Israelites rejoiced. And the hand of the Lord was with him, the hand, that is, the wonderful power, providence, care, grace, and favor of God, for of all these the hand is the symbol. They displayed themselves in this boy, so that it might be seen that he was singularly formed, chosen, and destined for great things. God showed this, one, by announcing his nativity by an angel to his father, two, by unloosing the tongue and the ears of Zechariah at his birth, three, by illuminating and impelling him to prophesy concerning the boy, four, by giving to Elizabeth when old and barren this offspring by a miracle, five, by giving to the boy a new and unusual name. All which things, being for the most part miracles, portended that John would be a great man and a prophet, and that God would accomplish great things by him. And all who saw or heard these things were filled with great fear, joy, and hope. St. Ambrose and Origen add that John himself felt that the hand of God was upon him, since he felt every day that by the operation of God he grew and advanced in the use of reason, in holy inspirations and desires, in the love and worship of Christ, in grace and in merits beyond what was natural to his years. Zechariah already had the Holy Spirit, for he was a just man, as we read in verse 6. Yet he, by the birth of John, received so great a fullness of the grace of the Holy Spirit, both sanctifying and rendering him acceptable, that he broke forth into this prophetic song which the Church sings daily in the divine office at Lourdes. Zechariah in his canticle does two things. One, he praises God for the Messiah incarnate in the Virgin. Two, he praises God by addressing his son John and celebrates his office as the forerunner of Christ. God, by means of Christ already incarnate, had begun the work of the redemption and deliverance of the whole world from the yoke of slavery to the devil, sin, death, and hell, under which it had been held for 4,000 years, but especially the redemption of Israel, that is, of the Jewish people, to whom especially the Messiah had been promised. Zechariah, by the spirit of prophecy, knew of the incarnation of the Messiah in the womb of the Virgin, and therefore that the redemption of the world was already begun, inasmuch as the Redeemer was conceived, who after a few years was about to complete the redemption of the world by his death on the cross.